Glenn Clark's Growing Up in Bandera. I'm sitting here at the computer doing some writing this morning and thinking back as Christmas time approaches. My head is filled with memories of the early year's gifts from Santa. My all-time favorite is the year I received my first bicycle. I had overheard my mom and dad secretly discussing if they were going to present it to me before Christmas morning. I don't recall the circumstances of why the early gift came about. At this point, I have to tell you I had already discovered the bicycle hidden in the smokehouse at Granddaddy Kendall's house. It was a double-edged sword of elation which turned into an agonizingly slow passing of the days. The door had a lock, but I could easily see through it, through the wide cracks in the cypress board walls, and at every opportunity, I would sneak a peek at that bright red soon-to-be-mine ticket to new adventures. I can recall every detail of the day in Revelation. Dad told me to get in the truck, and we headed to Granddaddy's house. I want to tell you, I was about to explode with excitement. We parked in the alley, and I hopped out like I was on a mission. I hadn't noticed that my dad was heading in the direction of the house because I was making a beeline to the smokehouse. I stopped dead in my tracks when he said, "Where are you going?" My heart sank, but I quickly recovered as he broke into a big grin. Mind you, it wasn't a new bike, but it was a real beauty. With five kids in the family living daily on a stretched-thin budget, this was huge. Learning to ride my bike was the next adventure. It was a smaller 26-inch model, and I used the running board of our truck to launch myself. Around the corner in front of Nanny and Honey Blackwell's house, there was a cinder block wall the perfect height to ease up to for a rest stop. A whole new world had opened up for me. The only danger was the occasional loose dog chasing me down the mostly gravel streets around town. I quickly became well-versed in bicycle repair, as the designs were pretty simple back then. The Western Auto was where I got my tube repair supplies. Every gas station in town had free air. I learned how to use balloons on the streets where they rubbed on the spokes to create the motorcycle sound. Easy Rider had nothing on me as I cruised the back streets of Bandera. Among the other presents I received over the years was an electric football game where the playing field vibrated, causing the players to move around. My brother Eddie and I shared that one. I believe it was my freshman year of high school when I got a skateboard. It was pretty crude when compared to today's boards. The only sidewalk of any length in the neighborhood was in front of the high school, which is now the middle school. I swear I do not recall anyone else in town having a board at that time. I do recall all the big cracks in the sidewalk, which caused me to have some memorable crashes. Christmas was always a big event in our house. One of the best things was going to Granddaddy's pasture to cut a cedar tree to decorate. I remember them ranging in size from large to huge. Funny how they always look smaller in the pasture. The tradition of Christmas dinner at Mom's house continued until her passing a few years ago. The smell of baked goods and the love shared in those gatherings will forever be a part of me. I have a vivid image of the grandkids going crazy in the living room as they tore into the many gifts stacked high in front of them. A far cry from the sometimes meager gifts we enjoyed in earlier life. But the one constant spanning of the years was the love of family we shared at Christmas time, growing up in Bandera. Merry Christmas and God bless.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by the Bandera Prophet, Bandera County's online news source. Locally owned and locally operated. Your news now.
Glenn Clark's Growing Up in Bandera, number 178. During the summertime, along the banks of the Medina River, near our home, there were sightings you could count on every day. Among the regulars were Doc Gray, who would either be fishing or digging worms in preparation for an upcoming fishing trip. Don Hicks from the Mahon Dude Ranch would be seen leading a string of horses with dudes mounted up for a look around our town. Those dudes were the real thing. Not the ones you hear about in conversation among the younger generations of today. I.G. Thedford had a residence set up on the river in a wagon, so it was a cinch we could run into him and his horse pretty regularly. Early pioneer style was his choice in living quarters and transportation too. He made trips to the grocery store on horseback and then passed by our house. I would smile knowing he had the same struggles with those brown paper bags as I did on my bike. His traditional attire was sure sign of his whole life being that of a real cowboy. Mr. Deskin's routine never varied in time or direction in his daily walks around the river roads. You could set your watch by him. Well, I could have, but tell the truth, I never wore a watch. Watches that some of my friends had back in the day didn't have a good survival rate, as I recall. Those early models didn't mix well with water, which is where we spent most of our time, both on purpose and sometimes by accident. My friend Brandy Humphreys went through more watches than anyone I've ever known. He was accident-prone and his watch would often end up being a casualty. I always made it a real up-close personal greeting with Mr. Deskin because he carried a pocket full of hard candy with him at all times. Usually, it was not root beer barrels and he was sure to share. As long as I knew him, we walked the same roads every day on his old walking cane. I sometimes carry one of my dad's old walking canes with me when I'm taking a stroll to get some wildlife pictures along the river. I wish I could retrace Mr. Deskin's steps and those of my dad in his younger days here in Bandera, but most of those areas are closed to the public now. Another sign of the times. As my years of growing up in Bandera were rolling on, they are peppered with disappointments more and more, because as bad as I want to hang on to the old, I know that time marches on.
Podcast is proudly brought to you by the Bandera Prophet, Bandera County's online news source. Locally owned and locally operated, your news now.
Glenn Clark's Growing Up in Bandera, number 179. Even though I lived in town as a kid here in Bandera, I knew things that only country folks know. Actually, back in the day, even the residents in town were considered to be country. Lots, if not most, of the early pioneers had a residence in town, as well as some acreage out in the county. That was the case with some of my ancestors. Like my life today of taking care of the birds of all varieties here at home, my country cousins from back then had the responsibility of caring for farm and ranch animals early in the morning and sometimes late into the night. They had to rise early in order to get the feeding done and still catch the bus for school. Country living can be harsh at times, but it's a good building foundation for a young person. I think most people realize that. That's why so many come here looking for that connection. Not all lessons in country life are intentionally taught. Just observing my grandparents, aunts and uncles, along with my mom and dad, going about their daily routines was a learning experience. Add in some time I spent at stock shows, trips to the feed store, and associations with people like Telvey Robbins and Werner Lindig, it's easy to see why I had a thorough country education. Mr. Lindig was a longtime county agent here in Bandera who trained many successful livestock judging teams in the area. That was pretty much what I knew of him until his passing. I have mentioned before of unsung heroes in the form of military veterans who walk unnoticed among us. and he was that and much more, as I now realize. The one mistake people make when they find you hail from the cowboy capital of the world is that they assume you have a horse. Well, I have 200 horses on the tail end of my bass boat, and that's all I need. I'll leave the hay burner tack to the other folks. I've been around horses my whole life, and I helped my great aunt Smokey Kindler haul them at times, but they just didn't connect for me. Drifting back in time by way of my memories of growing up in Bandera is one of the easiest things I can do, and most of those journeys are pleasant. It can be sprinkled with feelings of remorse for being so oblivious to some very significant events and people I was constantly in contact back then. I guess one of the prices of getting older is that you start facing reality as you lose the blessings of youth.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Growing Up in Bandera, written by Glenn Clark, narrated by Larry Haddad, and brought to you by the Bandera Prophet, Bandera County's online news source. Stay tuned for more.
Glenn Clark's Growing Up in Bandera, number 180. While enjoying a recent fishing trip to Medina Lake with my cousin, I was fishing along a man-made point near the area where the river opens to the lake. This location is familiar to me, both above and below the water, because I have fished there since I was a kid. I'm talking about back in the day when Smith Wright used to farm in the dry area of the lake bed. Casting to the bank from my boat along the water's edge, where there are now some really nice homes, I struck up a conversation with an elderly man who was doing yard work on some already perfectly manicured landscape surrounding his home. I asked if he knew the ground where he was standing was a man-made peninsula. Not only did he know that, but he had some family history connected to the lake. He told me his grandfather had hauled fuel oil to the dam construction site back in the early 1900s. While trying to share some history, I had received a history lesson. It's like a treasure hunt around these parts. You never know who, what, or when you may make a discovery. As I trolled away, I gave him a parting shot. I don't want to keep you from your work, so I'll go back to fishing. Then I heard a female voice respond, "Thanks a lot, guys." Up until then, I hadn't noticed his wife sitting quietly on the dock applying a new coat of paint. I had always wondered why people tell me to never move to the lake, because you wouldn't have to quit fishing. Now I know. Nearby Wharton's Dock was a place for lots of activities through the years. I had some childhood friends whose parents leased a lot next to it, where we did some camping. The building is now abandoned and in disrepair, while the boat launch is about the only thing left as a reminder of its heyday. My adventures on the Medina Lake have been shared with family and friends for decades, starting at an early age with Honey and Nanny Blackwell, and today with my regular fishing partner, Gerald Chief Robeson. The Bandera Bass Club was involved in numerous misadventures that were almost comical at times, and others which shall ever remain untold by me. My friend Johnny Cardenas and I were involved in some epic catches on several occasions. An incident where he almost went overboard scared me more than him, I think. The tales I known for our fishing circle as toadisms, involving my brother-in-law, Carol the Toad, to Spain. I could write a book about my associations with him. These days, my growing up in Bandera life still includes beautiful waters of Medina Lake. At its finest and lowest times, the memories are many for me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Growing Up in Bandera, written by Glenn Clark, narrated by Larry Haddad, and brought to you by the Bandera Prophet, Bandera County's online news source. Stay tuned for more.
Glenn Clark's Growing Up in Bandera, number 181. The Great Western Trail is what history will say was at least partly responsible for Bandera's claim to being the cowboy capital of the world. Can't argue that point. It's not unusual for me to recall traveling some trails around this part of Texas, on foot or on my back, or even when I'm in my truck while trying to imagine what it must have looked like to the drovers on cattle drives and wagon trains of early pioneers. Take a look at some undeveloped land while you are traveling in isolated areas on paved highways and try to envision what a perilous journey they endured. The perils we faced as kids back in the day were more like hopping on man-made wooden cart that we had assembled and pushed off the Mahon Ranch road hill, knowing we had no brakes and very little steering control. The old rough gravel road with a 90-degree turn at the bottom of the hill made a miracle, the only thing we could count on to prevent a huge crash or a trip ending in the Dena River. Bicycles with no brakes didn't fare any better. I guess the tragedies we faced back then could best be compared to modern kids finding out there's no cell phone service available. I have owned some cows over the years, but the only place I drove them was off to market in a trailer. If I needed to move them across the road to the other pasture, a bucket of cubes made me the Pied Piper as they followed without resistance. They, on the other hand, drove me crazy with fences that seemed to need constant repair, along with feed and vet bills that can drive a man to the poorhouse at times. Some of the events I have witnessed over the years, starting with the Stampede days, bring visions of what a town might have looked like when the cattle drive ended and the drovers were paid and turned loose. In current times, I figure the modern-day cowboy has a job to go back to the next week to earn a living after a weekend shindig in Bandera. Back in the time of the great cattle drive and drovers left a good deal of their earning in places like Dodge City before heading back south to Texas to wait for the next cattle drive. Something I truly enjoy today as I continue growing up in Bandera are the trails we have available in the parks we are blessed with in our county. They provide areas for riding a horse, nature opportunities, as well as a place for just letting my mind take me back in time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Growing Up in Bandera, written by Glenn Clark, narrated by Larry Haddad, and brought to you by the Bandera Prophet, Bandera County's online news source. Stay tuned for more.
Glenn Clark's Growing Up in Bandera, number 182. A very few things have gone unchanged throughout my growing up years here in the South Central Texas Hills. The language terminology changes can sometimes be drastic. You do know that thongs are no longer worn on your feet, right? A cell used to be a small room of bars in the local hoosegow. Now it is associated with phones and communication towers. I believe it is still used the same way in biology class lingo, so that is a survivor. I have a shirt that is one of my favorites. It is covered with a design including images of those old cars with the wooden exterior trim we saw in surfer movies back in the 60s at the Bantex Theater. They were called a Woody. I don't recall any of those cars appearing here in Bandera back in the day. I always get the strangest looks from the younger generation now when I refer to it as my Woody shirt. Not sure what that's about. It's still proper to use the term cool, exactly like I did back in my school days. Not sure how that one has escaped renovation for over 50 years. I wish the local meaning of dude was still around. It no longer seems to fit in with our cowboy capital of the world image. I still visualize an untanned city slicker in shorts, tennis shoes, and a non-traditional hat riding a horse. Had I ever addressed my dad with, "Hey, dude," I would have grown up with a terrible permanent limp. Do you think that youngsters of today know what it means to be a tall hog at the trough? Or how about walking into tall cotton? Do you think the rain will hurt the rhubarb? I didn't know until recently that the proper response to that is, not if it's in the can. We used to have a gully washers and frog stranglers. Now we simply have severe thunderstorms. Either way, I still see the same effect on many of the local residents. I'll see you at the river as we gather to watch it rise. My thoughts are always the same. I pray everyone is safe, and I hope it fills a lake. I still recall the answer given by my English teacher, Winnie Hicks, each time I hear someone ask, "Where's it at?" Between the A and the T was her response. I guarantee you that no one got away with that one. She wondered often if I was paying attention. Now she knows. As we continue to make our way through the growing up in Bandera experience, let's try to use terms that are reflective of the friendly town image we wish to portray. Instead of saying hi, try a big howdy with a smile. It's the right thing to do, and it adds value to our community.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Growing Up in Bandera, written by Glenn Clark, narrated by Larry Haddad, and brought to you by the Bandera Prophet, Bandera County's online news source. Stay tuned for more.
Glenn Clark's Growing Up in Bandera, number 184. Imagine what our grandparents faced as they awoke each morning and prepared to meet the day in early Bandera times. First order of business was probably making a trip to the outhouse. I'm pretty sure it wasn't as unpleasant to them as it might seem to us thinking about it today. Breakfast preparation was sure to start by building a fire in the old wood cook stove to get the coffee going. As I can recall from earlier years around my granddaddy Kendall's house, the stove was a source of heating during cold weather as well as cooking. I would bet I'm not the only one who recalls bathing in a tub by a wood-burning stove as hot water was being added from a kettle. Gas and electric stoves made life in the morning so much easier for us in later years. While it still required some effort to make a morning meal, it pales in comparison to the microwave instant breakfast choices of modern times. Add the fact that there are fast food drive-thrus on just about every corner in every town, and you have a picture of our world today. It seems we can't even imagine what a life it would be without a breakfast taco now. Trying to compare Bandera's early pioneer days to our modern way of life can conjure up some amazing images of technological advances. Wall-mounted crank phones in a few places around town, and in some homes gave way to a cell phone in every hand. Electric lighting has replaced the ever-reliable kerosene lamp. We still keep a couple of those old-style lamps on standby here in our home in case of an emergency. I get so tired of searching for the ever-elusive battery-operated flashlight every time I need one. I will admit to being addicted to the cell phone habit. Each time I head out the door to my next Growing Up in Bandera adventure, I make sure I have my connection to the rest of the world. It's extremely handy for locating a lost wife on a shopping spree and getting updates on the latest lake fishing reports.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Growing Up in Bandera, written by Glenn Clark, narrated by Larry Haddad, and brought to you by the Bandera Prophet, Bandera County's online news source. Stay tuned for more.
Glenn Clark's Growing Up in Bandera, number 185. How did we come to calling all of our highways by a number instead of their real name? Everyone knows 3240 is really Ridge Route, and 1077 is the Dixie Dude Road. 470 is a lot easier to identify as the Tarpley Highway. Pretty simple when you think about it. It's like we are losing part of our identity. The way things are going, I will soon be getting lost in a place where I lived almost my entire life. What's wrong with directions like, turn right by the Evans house and keep going till you get to the Turner place where the road makes a 90 degree turn? GPS might be the new modern way to get somewhere if you have an address, but it sure as heck ain't gonna tell you who lives in the house where you need to turn. One of the things I truly miss about the old days around Bandera is the way I was greeted as a kid entering a local business. Very few people didn't know me by my name. In these modern times, I am known around town by lots of different names, I'm told. As I make my morning rounds along Main Street, I sometimes tap on a window when I see someone inside busy at work. I almost always get a great big smile and a wave in return that makes my morning a little brighter. Human connections aren't the only daily encounters I have while walking the streets of our town. I see those roosters who hang around the restaurants like panhandlers, looking for a handout. Meanwhile, back at his home, the hen is busy herding chicks, reminding me of what my mother must have endured with her brood back in the day. The deer, which are common along every street and in all areas of town, don't shy away more than a few feet as I pass by where they are grazing. Most will even walk toward me, thinking my litter bag might be filled with snacks intended for them. They've become quite a tourist draw down in our end of town. My growing up in Bandera days have become a little more dangerous since I began my morning walking routine after retirement. I've had a few close calls with vehicles driven by people who are more concerned with their time schedule than my existence. Can you believe they don't even yield to the geese and ducks coming off the river every morning to eat the cat food up on 11th Street provided by animal lovers? What has caused such a change in our laid-back Bandera lifestyle from back in the day?
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Growing Up in Bandera, written by Glenn Clark, narrated by Larry Haddad, and brought to you by the Bandera Prophet, Bandera County's online news source. Stay tuned for more.
Glenn Clark's Growing Up in Bandera, number 186. I sometimes wonder how I've survived so long after making some decisions in earlier times that were questionable to say the least. They say God watches over fools and babies. That could explain a lot. Maybe he had planning my future with my great-grandchild in mind. No one could have been better prepared for being a teacher of life skills after the education I received here in Bandera during my young years. I would hope that the younger generations will learn from my mistakes, as we never live long enough to make all the mistakes ourselves. Bullets were dodged thanks to some words of wisdom from my elders. I can't say I always listen, but I did survive some things that did get through my thick skull. The cycle of my life is indeed fascinating. As I look back over the 7 decades I've spent here in our little corner of the world, like everyone else, I started out crawling around in diapers before I moved up to walking. Later, I started relying on my bicycle for getting around, and eventually I graduated to the driving a car stage. When my grandson came along and reached his bicycle age, I reverted back to it so I could ride along with him. We could be seen riding around the area for hours some days. Here in more recent years, I've returned to walking quite a bit, and I am thoroughly enjoying it. I am a little worried that I might one day wake up and find myself once again in diapers. I can only hope the reverse life cycle stops at my walking phase and lasts a good long time. But I've been using baby powder a little more frequently over the past year. Could it be? Through social media and some chance encounters with friends from the distant past, I have begun to take note of what a long journey my growing up in Bandera has been. My aching joints remind me every day as I roll out of bed that some of the roads I have traveled weren't paved. The words, "Don't do that, you'll hurt your back," echo in my mind daily. I should listen to those with knowledge gained through experience.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Growing Up in Bandera, written by Glenn Clark, narrated by Larry Haddad, and brought to you by the Bandera Prophet, Bandera County's online news source. Stay tuned for more.
Glenn Clark's Growing Up in Bandera, number 187. It is strange how certain events from back in the day can be so quickly recalled in great detail after so many years. Some of those were triggered recently when I saw my classmate and friend J.M. Clemens. One in particular was at the night during a home football game when he ran headfirst into the steel landing mat fence around the playing field. As hard-headed as my friend might have been, he was no match for the fence. I bet he still has a clear recollection of that night, too. Well, what happened after the cobwebs cleared, I suppose? J.M. was fast on his feet, which probably added to the velocity at which he hit the fence. He set a record, as I recall, in track during his high school days. If memory serves me correctly, it was Hot Rod Harry Himes' record that he broke. His record was then broken by Greg Hicks. Maybe there's something in the water around Bandera. We lived near the school in the 50s where the old gym was being built. Back then, all levels of our school system were on the one location, occupied now by the middle school alone. I remember watching the gym construction and thinking what a huge change it was at the time. The old gym is gone now, along with a lot of other buildings on the campus, but the memories, both good and bad, are still with me. Walking into a fried chicken restaurant can trigger a memory of a Sunday meal at the Clark House following Mass at St. Stanislaus Catholic Church back in the day. Believe me when I say the taste I get today will be entirely different than when my mama was frying chicken. If my wife, who is an excellent cook, happens to be frying up a batch, that will allow me to once again enjoy that unique taste. There is just something about home fried chicken that's hard to duplicate. When quoting Guy Clark, I might add a line about home fried chicken to his lyrics. Only two things money can't buy. That's true love and homegrown tomatoes. On the rare occasions my wife and I venture out to catch a flick, as we called movies back then, in our cool years. I don't seem to enjoy myself like I did at the Bantex Theater many years ago. Not sure if it's the environment of the new Megaplex theaters or the movies themselves. I sure do miss those days when Audie Murphy and John Wayne used six-shooters that could fire 12 times without reloading. As my growing up in Bandera story keeps rolling along, I can count on the blessings of a somewhat sound mind to recall events that carry me away from my modern-day problems.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Growing Up in Bandera, written by Glenn Clark, narrated by Larry Haddad, and brought to you by the Bandera Prophet, Bandera County's online news source. Stay tuned for more.